August. It's 1 o'clock on August 5th, 2021, and we will call to order the meeting of the View Corée Commission. Brian, would you call roll, please?
Yes. Mamie Gasparaz?
Present.
Tony DiMaggio?
Present.
Fifield?
Present.
Stephen Bergeron?
Present.
Bill Reeves?
Present.
Angela King? Keely Thibodeau? Rodney V. Real? Oh, sorry, Keely, I missed you there. Thank you. Rodney V. Real? And Vern Toombs?
Present.
Thank you. We have 7 members constituting a quorum.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate that. Welcome, commissioners and our guests. The first item of business is a review of the minutes, and I've spoken with staff, and we are going to get caught up on all of the minutes at the official August meeting. This is actually the July meeting, and so we will have those for the commissioners' review before that time, so we can vote on that at that point. We have to have a motion to defer the approval of the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioners, could we have a motion?
I'll move to defer the minutes until the next meeting.
Thank you, Tony.
This is Rick Byfield. I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Rick. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. We will consider the minutes at the meeting later this month. For the chairman's report, I'll be brief. Obviously, we've returned to a virtual format, but thanks to the staff to manage to get us to so we could at least see each other in these tiny little boxes. And but most importantly, I want to welcome a new commissioner. The Chamber of Commerce designee has come to us and been approved by City Council and Mayor Cantrell. We welcome Laverne Toombs to the commission. We are very fortunate to have someone of her amazing resume. She currently serves as the executive director of the Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, but her resume is terribly impressive. Share her background, not only in marketing and development, fundraising and grant writing, but she spent many years in local and state government, and a very, very, very articulate woman. I enjoyed getting to know her a little bit on her commissioner orientation last week. So thank you so much, Commissioner Toombs. We're fortunate to have someone like you. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Perfect, thank you. Brian or Renee, do we have a director's report today?
Yes, and I'll also be brief. Just wanted to update the commission that we are currently entering budget season for the year 2022. We're working to, we're still facing shortfalls, of course, economically, but we're working to reconstitute our commission by bringing our inspectors back under the umbrella of the View Corée Commission. As you recall, last year, because of the economic situations, they were transferred to the Department of Safety and Permits, although they still were our inspectors. So we are working to bring them back. Also, we are promoting Renee to the role of deputy director, which is very exciting. That is currently going through and is going to be retroactive to the beginning of this year, but it is also going to be part of our budget for next year. So those are just some very exciting things that we're looking forward to, optimistic that we will have our budget approved, and I will keep the commission abreast of how things proceed.
Thank you, Brian. I know that's no small task. I commend you and the staff towards that end, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. New business, the matter of 616 St. Peter Street. Do we have a staff report?
616 St. Peter is an orange-rated building at the corner with a blue-rated portion on St. Peter Street. This is a proposal to install a new copper awning over existing wraparound gallery per application and materials received June 28, 2021. Following committee review and approval, staff issued a permit to install a new copper awning over the existing wraparound gallery on July 18, 2019. BCC approval expired 12 months later, and the application requires re-review by the commission prior to permit issuance. The two-story stucco building at the corner was reconstructed in 1962 after the original 1796 Spanish colonial building was razed. The original building was well documented as part of the iconic Jackson Square viewshed. A drawing from 1872 and a photograph from 1885 show the original wrought iron balcony rail, which was transformed into a gallery by circa 1900. The original rail was salvaged and reinstalled on the existing building. Staff notes that the blue-rated portion of the building fronts on St. Peter and is not in the scope of work for this permit. The proposed gallery awning is wood construction with a lead-coated copper roof with copper gutters and bird's mouth scuppers. The ornamental wrought iron fascia and gallery panels will be installed slightly behind the existing railing, allowing it to remain independent and easily reversible. The historic rail is raised with extension bars below to meet building code. On Charter Street, columns will be relocated to correspond to the existing iron panels above. The impact on the viewshed down Charter Street and Jackson Square was studied by the committee in 2019 and found to be minimal and in keeping with the design guidelines. As the design is unchanged from previously approved stamped materials, committee recommended approval of the proposed work.
Thank you, Aaron. Do we have anyone on the line representing the project?
Hi, hello. Hi, this is Gabriel Verdue with Traplin Peer Architects.
Okay, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Is there anyone else representing the project on the line?
Steve Pettis, maybe. He said he was going to be on the line, but I don't see him on the Zoom call. Okay. So he may not have been able to make it.
Okay, we just wanted to make sure that we could identify for the record. Do you have any particular comments, Ms. Verdure?
No, I don't.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you. Commissioners, do you have any particular questions right now? As a matter of process, we will, of course, have our public comment period following the presentation, and then be quiet for 30 minutes while we collect those comments, and then we'll come back and then we'll discuss, read record comments, and then hopefully vote and move on these particular actions. Brian, did I explain that clearly?
Yes, ma'am, that was perfect.
Okay, thank you. Okay, terrific. Okay, well, having comment and no commissioner questions, then we will move on to 1215 Dauphine Street / 913 Governor Nichols Street.
Right. The main building at 913 Governor Nichols Street is a blue-rated building. This is a proposal to build two new 2.5-story buildings per application and materials received June 29, 2021. Following extensive committee and commission review, staff issued a permit to construct two buildings on the 1215 Dauphine Key lot on March 2, 2018. The property was long associated with 913 Governor Nichols, and the properties were combined as part of the permitting process for new construction. BCC approval expired after 12 months, and the application requires re-review by the committee and commission prior to permit issuance. The larger of the two proposed buildings is a 2.5-story structure containing three residential units, measuring 38'11" to the top of the parapet. Its massing and typology were influenced by townhouses with attached service cells commonly found in the district. Due to the extreme visibility of all elevations, particularly from Cabrini Park and Barrack Street, it was designed to blend in with the surrounding context. While millwork and gallery details were simplified to reflect its contemporary age, parking spots are provided on site and inside the first floor, accessible from garage doors on the Governor Nichols elevation. The rear building measures 37'2¾" in height and is similar in form, massing, scale, and typology to a typical 2.5-story detached outbuilding and contains one unit. Staff notes that the plans were approved in 2018 prior to the implementation of the Zucre Height Interim Zoning District, which limits the allowable height in the French Quarter. Staff reached out to the zoning administrator for an interpretation on the allowable height at this property. The CZO states the maximum building height shall be limited to the current height of the existing structure as defined by Article 26, or if the property is currently undeveloped or vacant, either of the following methods shall be used to calculate the maximum height. However, in no case shall the building height exceed 50 feet. Zoning Administrator Nick Kendall interpreted the allowable height as that of the existing structure on the same lot, in this case, the Osorno House, as the property is not currently undeveloped or vacant. Therefore, the height of the front building must be reduced below the height of 913 Governor Nichols, which measures 37'2¾" tall. None of the design elements has changed as part of this resubmittal. However, staff notes the original approval was completed under previous building code, and safety and permits has provided the applicant with preliminary comments noting needed revisions, submittals, appeals, and reviews by other divisions, including but not limited to DBSA appeal of base flood elevation requirements and a window on the property line with Cabrini Park, submittal of soil testing and reports in order to receive approval from DBSA to install helical piles, illegal servitude across property lines, and updated review by the state fire marshal. Additionally, the front gallery panels were conceptually approved by the BCC, but required further development and review at the committee level. This has not yet been completed since the permit was issued in 2018. Staff notes that the property is currently for sale and it is unclear if the property will be sold as one parcel or as individual units. When reviewed by the committee on July 21st, the applicant stated that the owner would not be selling the property and would move forward with the new construction as originally planned. However, staff notes that multiple real estate signs are still in place on both the Governor Nichols and Dauphine elevations, advertising the property as both, quote, 6 units with off-street parking and, quote, an extra large lot. It is also advertised on the Ladder and Bloom website as 6 units available for purchase individually or as a multi-unit complex. Staff notes that if these lots were to be returned to their original configurations, the proposed new construction would not be found approvable as it would no longer meet CZO requirements for open space. At the committee review on July 21st, the committee moved to approve the proposal and forward them to the commission with the proviso that the plans must meet building code. Considering the extensive preliminary review comments from safety and permits that were sent to the applicant on July 22nd, staff recommends that the commission defer the proposal until these items are addressed with safety and permits, the BBSA, and any other agencies that may require alterations to the design.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that report. Mr. Williams is on the line. Is there anyone else representing the property and the application on the line?
Cesar Burgos is the owner and will clear up any questions that the commission has about land sale or issues and why there was this delay from late 2019 to the current state that where we are. And also we have Andy Stevens from our office, Andy Stevens, who's the project architect overseeing the project. They have any questions. So we're happy to make a presentation when you desire such presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Welcome, Mr. Stevens and Mr. Burgos. If you would like to take just a very few minutes and make a statement, you have the yes. Either of you have the floor.
Well, the architectural committee has forwarded this to the commission for approval. The staff forwarded to the architectural committee for approval. We spent, actually, this started with Larry Hestoffer. So it was months making the, and if you look at the design, Aaron has a great report. I think it's a very approvable design for this particular part of the French Quarter and at this particular lot. It's respectful to the park right across from the building. It's respectful to the neighbor. We have a structural report, which we can make available during the comment period that says nothing that we're doing will interfere with the wall that's currently there with the owner. There was a mention of the owner saying that this property, they intended to buy it. Mr. Burgos will opine that he's not this isn't for, he is the owner. It's not for sale. He wants to proceed with this design at that property. And I believe it's his right if he wants to do that. And the six condos for sale are the apartments that are condominiums that are in the building that faces Governor Nichols Street. So that's, there's no confusion about those being individually for sale. This was developed into a single lot of record. There was a requirement that there be some access to the park. That's why we have a cross easement. The things that Aaron listed, most of which we've gotten approved when we didn't get conceptual approval and stop. We got a whole permit. We got a safety and permits permit that allow us to build these units on that empty lot. This owner would appreciate very much, similar to the previous project, just being allowed to move forward with the development and construct the design that you see that took us, I think we went through more than 15 different designs until we could get this, everybody agreeing to approve this with the re-subdivision. If you have any other questions about the design or how they interrelate or the site plan or the open space, I'm happy to answer them. But I know we want to keep this brief, and I would like to turn it over to Cesar Burgos now to make his comment about the sale of the property, the neighbor, and where he stands with developing the project.
Thank you. Mr. Williams, you did a very good job of keeping it to 2 minutes. Thank you very much. Mr. Burgos, you have the floor.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you all for the opportunity to participate in this meeting. I'm not very good at this technology, so if I do something wrong, please forgive me. Let's see. As Mr. Williams, my architect, indicated, my team, my development team, which includes my architects and my general contractors, worked tirelessly for about 2 years to come up with this concept, and we're able, working with all the regulatory agencies, to eventually get it approved. Unfortunately, I had some mishaps happen to me last year. In January of 2020, I had an accident, and I was misdiagnosed. I hurt my head, and eventually I ended up 30 days later having to have a what's called a subdural hematoma craniotomy, real fancy phrase for brain surgery, late in February. And as a result of that surgery and accident, I was not able to work at all in the year 2020. Even today, I'm not 100%, but I am well enough to build my project now. And I'm ready, willing to do so. Unfortunately, the permit expired, in October 2020. I was bedridden at the time. But I'm back on my feet, and I can build this project. I want to build this project. Again, we worked tirelessly for about 2 years to get this approved. I understand that a few minor things have changed, and that requires us going back to the regulatory agencies to make the tweaks. But we got to get this past this step in order to go to the next step. As to selling my property, I note that there's a historic property in the front of the lot that is comprised now of six condos. They came out beautiful. And those are the properties, those are the units that I'm aiming to sell. If that needs to be clarified with my real estate agent, I can do that within 24 hours. But those are the six units that I'm wanting to sell. Eventually, when I do build my units in the back, I aim to sell those as well. To clarify also another point, my next door neighbor, Ms. Dr. Daines, did approach me recently, and he's interested in purchasing approximately one third of my back lot. I'll be frank with you. The idea of having to work less and to build less is somewhat attractive to me, particularly because of my recovery. I'm still recovering, right? However, I made it very clear, abundantly clear to Dr. Bain, that A, I have to answer to my partner. B, I have to answer to my investors. C, I have to answer to the regulatory agencies that already approved this. And D, I have to answer to the lending institution, because everybody bargained for what we have on camera right now. So what we need to do is start here, breathe life into this, back again, And then at that point, sit down with Dr. Raines and everybody else and say, okay, what is it that we're proposing? And if we can switch down the road relatively fast and nobody loses money, my partners, nobody loses money, my investors, the lending institution is okay with it. And most importantly, the regulatory agency down the road in an expeditious fashion says, okay, we can go with this new plan. That's something that we can consider at that time.
That's me.
But we certainly cannot. We cannot go through another two-year process. And I made that very clear. Most importantly, you know, we all know that real estate contracts need to be in writing. There is nothing in writing to suggest that I have an agreement to sell my property with anyone. I regret that I was not able to perform in 2020. I was bedridden. I had brain surgery. I had brain damage. I'm still recovering, but I'm able to work now. This is something that is common knowledge. I say at least 5 out of 7 council members kept track of my recovery. I have a good relationship with them. The mayor kept track of my recovery. I have a very good relationship with her. And everybody's happy that I'm back and I'm somewhat healthy.
Thank you, Mr. Burgos. I'm gonna have to call time. So now everybody knows that to get over 2 minutes with me, you actually have had to have brain surgery. So we did let Mr. Burgos have the floor a little longer.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Thank you for your comments. We wish you a speedy and full recovery, Mr. Burgos. But you need to go ahead and ask the commissioners if they have any particular questions for either Mr. Burgos or Mr. Williams at this time.
This is Tony. I actually have a question for Aaron, who is the staff member who prepared the report. And my question was, it's noted that the View Curie Commission issued a permit in March of 2018. Could you clarify, was there any safety and permit building permit issued as well at any point between now and then?
Absolutely. So Safety and Permits did issue a permit, but it was under the previous building code, and it seems that there may have been some elements of the review that were missed as far as elements of the design that required either waivers or additional materials. For example, the helical ties being used for the foundation. In order to use helical piles, in order to receive approval for helical piles, that has to go through BDSA. Apparently that was not done. So Safety and Permits is going to require it now that they've realized that oversight. So the day after the committee meeting, when the recommendation was for approval, was when Safety and Permits prepared their initial comments, and it became more apparent that there's quite a few items that are still going to have to go through additional review, like the base flood elevation. There was an appeal for that, but 18 inch was granted. They needed to go up to 3 feet, so it's going to have to go back just for additional discussion. So there's quite a few items that are on the table that have the potential to influence the design.
Thank you, Aaron. Tony, do you have anything else?
I did. Well, my next question was, did the safety and permits issuance expire March of 2019 as well, like the MBCC one did?
It did not. So the permits were renewed several times because work was ongoing with a related permit. And they were kind of being done concurrently. So the renewal, the 12-month renewal wasn't required because of the things that were ongoing. When things wrapped up on the main build, the blue rated building, both VCC and Safety and Permits put notes in the system that said no further renewals of the new construction permit without additional review just because of the substantial amount of time that had gone by.
Thank you. That's just my main concern, because if this is going back through safety and permits and zoning, there's already a couple of items that are noted in the staff report that both of those departments have weighed in on, that they are going to have requirements to alter, and that will also change the design. At the Architectural Committee
level, if I'm able to speak for the other two members, our motion to approve the proposal and forward this to the commission had the proviso that the plans must meet the new building code, which I think has been proven that they don't. And so my concern is whether or not we would consider the VCC permit potentially renewable in terms of the design as it's been proposed in the past. The one that expired in March of 2019, I guess officially, but had the ongoing work that kept it in the system a little bit longer. I'm just worried that safety and permits and zoning will not, will require large amounts of changes that will affect the design. And so I don't think it makes sense to approve a design that they're not going to approve, because you'll have to come back through the process anyway. It seems like it would be an extension of your time as well, if that were the case.
Mr. Manager, I have a...
Certainly, Mr. Williams.
You could ask, I think I can participate if you ask me a question, but...
Please do.
Yeah, we did get the approval of the base flood elevation to allow it to be 18 inches. So that would carry over. We did get cross easements. Mm-hmm. That would carry over. The change of the design.
So John, there are still some outstanding issues with that. If you look at Megan Murphy's letter, they're not completely resolved.
But my comment here is that when we go to these boards, they're going to say, are we wasting our time? Do you have your CRA approval of the design the way it is? And that's what we're seeking, is the approval we already have, be able to, and it only takes you approving it today, then we go try and get our approvals, which I believe, and I've studied the code, we've done the piles testing before, and so if they require that again, we can do that. And so I think we're in a position where we'd like the Vera Cray Commission to approve this, reapprove this design as recommended, and we believe pretty strongly that it will be what we end up with safety and permits will be what we're presenting to you.
Thank you, John. Brian has a comment.
I have a comment.
Wait, hang on one second, Bill. Let's let Brian, and then you'll get a turn. Thank you.
I wanted to address what Mr. Williams was just saying. We've been going through this with other projects in the VCC and the HDLC. There's sort of a chicken and the egg situation where one department is asked to approve something before another department approves something. And the bottom line is the VCC cannot approve something that is in deviation of the building code or in deviation of the comprehensive zoning ordinance. What we can do is that we go through the ARC review process and come to a conceptual approval, which is where we are today. And we say, and the commission can do the same thing, where they could vote to conceptually approve with the proviso that it must comply with the building code, it must receive any waivers that it needs from the BZA, must be compliant with the current comprehensive zoning ordinance, et cetera. So it isn't so much that we are in a position to blanketly approve something that was approved in 2018, since these other agencies have issues as things have changed, but we are in a position to conceptually approve the design, provided that it does comply. And I did want to just reiterate too that Mr. Burgos and Mr. Williams are correct, and that this had gone through a lengthy process, was reviewed by the staff in the ARC and the previous commission for a number of meetings, and they did a wonderful job of responding to all of the concerns of the district, of the HDLC, the VCC. We're in support of the concept as shown, but we just need to make sure that the details are correct as per the situation in 2021.
Thank you, Brian. Well said. Bill Reeves, I believe you had a question or a comment. You have the floor.
Well, I want to echo Brian's sentiments. I certainly would like to see us on the positive side of this project. And I would certainly be in favor of conceptual approval. I would like to see the VCC push this project in the sense that it looks to me like a very nice project that's been worked over, hopefully not till its death. So I would suggest, I'll make a motion, whatever it's called for, to conceptually approve this project.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'll hold you off on that. We have to get our public comment period and all of that in. So we'll do that. Commissioners, any other questions or comments for Mr. Burgos or Mr. Williams? Okay. All right.
I do have one last one, Mamie. I'm sorry. If the building that the front building height is reduced per the current zoning, what's the dimension that you would have to remove from it?
About a foot. I mean, I got right now we're at, Andy, you had this 38 feet, 11 inches, and apparently the height of the blue rated building is 37, mm-hmm. So it'd be 1 foot, 2 inches that we would have to reduce the overall height. I mean, that might be a roof pitch. You know, it might take a 9.5 foot ceiling height going to 9 feet on one floor. And maybe, I think we have 2 11s, they would drop a few inches. We could actually do that, but we like the proportions that it is now. It's only a foot, what's 7 from 11, a foot, 4 inches off. And, you know, we'd have to work with Mr. Burgos to see if he wants to then, you know, go get a zoning variance for 1 foot, 4 inches, which probably would survive given the fact that, you know, we already have this design the way it is.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Last call for questions, commissioners. Okay. Terrific. All right, Mr. Burgos, Mr. Williams, thank you for your comments. We're going to move to the next item. 823-825 Decatur. We have a staff report.
Decatur is a green rated main building. This is commission review of staff recommendation to grant historic Tujac signs designated classic sign status per Article 24.15 of the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance. The Tujac's restaurant recently moved from the historic location at 823 Decatur to a new location at 429 Decatur Street. The restaurant is seeking to install replicas of the Blade sign and Under Gallery sign at their new location under a separate permit, which the Commission reviewed at the May 19, 2021 Commission meeting. As neither the historic signs at 823 Decatur nor the proposed new signs at 429 Decatur meet CZO requirements, the signs need to be designated as classic signs per Section 24.15.A2A of the CZO before replication can be considered approvable. The Law Department informed BCC staff that the existing historic signs must first be designated as classic signs, then replica signs could be installed at the new location. The classic signs article of the CZO states, any person in the city may apply for a designation of an existing sign as of the date of adoption of this ordinance as a classic sign. Classic signs are exempt from area, setback, height, lighting, movement, flashing, placement, type, content, placement, and construction materials requirements of this ordinance. To qualify for a designation as a classic sign, the sign shall A, be at least 25 years old, or an exact replica of an original sign where the combined age of the duplicate and original sign is at least 25 years. B, possess unique physical design characteristics such as configuration, message, color, texture, etc. C, be of significance to the city regardless of the use identified by the sign. A sign designated as a classic sign may remain on the premises even if the original use to which the sign relates is no longer located on the premises. Classic sign designations within the VUCRA must be approved by the VUCRA Commission per the CZO. Originally established in 1856, Tujac's was located at 823 Decatur from at least 1929. A VCC photograph from circa 1950 shows the three neon signs still in existence today. The corner blade sign, which reads Tujac's, established 1856, an under gallery sign reading Tujac's Restaurant, and another under gallery sign reading Bar. All three signs are over 25 years old, as mandated in criteria A. Staff finds that the sign also meets criteria B and C, as noted in section 24.15.A2A of the CZO. Staff recommends approval of the classic sign designation for all existing historic neon signs A823 Decatur.
Thank you, Erin, for that report. Do we have anyone representing the project on the line today?
Mark Ladder, the owner of Two Jacks.
Okay. Welcome, Mark. Thank you for joining us. Anyone else?
Avery Foray with Sherman Strategies is here as Land Use Counsel. Just happy to help if I need it.
Thank you, Avery. Welcome. Mr. Ladder, do you have any comments for us?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Commissioners, do we have any questions for Mr. Ladder at this time? Okay. Well, terrific. Thank you all. We're going to go to the next item, 7B Dauphine Street.
Yes. 740 Dauphine is a yellow-rated main building with a green-rated service building. This is a proposal to construct a new roof over the existing gallery. Pre-application materials received March 9, 2021 and July 15, 2021, respectively. The gallery on this building only dates to 1988, when the Architecture Committee and Commission approved its installation. Staff at that time noted that a gallery would help to distinguish the 20th century second floor from the 19th century Creole cottage remnant of the first floor. The applicant proposes to construct a new roof above this gallery and has been working with the Architecture Committee to reach the current proposal. The gallery roof would extend the entire width of the existing gallery, feature standing seam metal roofing, half-round gutters, and spitters to drain the roof. The applicant presented two options for the ends of the gallery roof at the last Architecture Committee meeting, as seen on sheet A3.1. Staff and the Architecture Committee expressed a preference for option one, which features a more open end. The underside of the roof would be finished with a wood beadboard ceiling and feature ceiling fans centered in the bays. Although the proposed overhang does not meet current guidelines, the existing gallery was constructed in 1988 and would not meet the current guidelines either if proposed today. The Architecture Committee noted that if both the gallery and overhang were proposed in 1988 together, they most likely would have both been approved. Given the rating of the building and the somewhat atypical situation, the Architecture Committee moved to approve the design of the overhang as proposed. Staff recommends approval of the application with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you very much. Do we have someone on the call representing the property?
Yes, it's Patrick Tucker. I'm the architect of record.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Tucker. Anyone else representing the project?
Okay. I don't believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Commissioners, do we have any questions for Mr. Tucker at this time?
This is Stephen. I have a question for the staff.
Certainly, Mr. Bergeron.
In our committee meetings, we didn't really discuss the ceiling fans. I know they've been on the plans for some time, but I feel like I recall the guidelines having some comments about ceiling fans and whether or not they are permitted in a gallery roof. Can the staff clarify whether those ceiling fans would be appropriate per the guidelines?
Sure. Yeah, the guidelines just say that as long as they don't have an integral light kit as part of the ceiling fan, then they are approvable.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Any other commissioner? All right. Having no further questions, we'll move to the next item before we go to appeals and violations. So do we have a staff report on 220-222 Charter Street?
Sure. 220-222 Charters is a yellow-rated main building with service building. This is a proposal to install mechanical equipment, new millwork, and lighting in conjunction with a change of use from vacant to specialty restaurant. Per application and materials received June 15, 2021 and June 28, 2021, respectively. Article 2.10 of the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance states that, quote, within the Vieux Carré Historic District, no occupancy permit shall be issued by the Director of Safety and Permits for any change in the use of any existing building until and unless a special permit shall have been issued by the Vieux Carré Commission, except that where there is no change of exterior appearance is contemplated, such permit by the Vieux Carré Commission shall not be required. Where any change in exterior appearance is contemplated, the Vieux Carré Commission shall hold a hearing, and if it approves such change, shall issue a special permit to continue the same use or for any other use not otherwise prohibited in the district, subject to the following conditions and safeguards. One, the historic character of the Vieux Carré shall not be injuriously affected. Three, building design shall be in harmony with the traditional architectural character of the Vieux Carré. And four, the value of the Vieux Carré as a place of unique interest and character shall not be impaired. The proposed exterior changes to the buildings are as follows. Front elevation, install three decorative frosted glass globe fixtures at the three center pilasters. The committee responded to the proposed fixtures and gave conceptual approval for final selection at staff level. Rear elevation, restore bricked-in door to match adjacent and install 12 by 12 and 12 by 24 mechanical louvers. Swept head brick lintels and brick sills on the rear elevation show at least three openings existed at one point, with all being bricked in except the center door. While there was some question about whether these openings were windows or doors, the applicant stated that the locations of existing brick sills were due to changes in the interior floor level, and the committee found the work conceptually approvable. The louvers were also found conceptually approvable, as they will be located below the second floor level and can be painted to minimize visibility. Staff notes the courtyard is small and not visible from other properties. Mechanical, install two condensers and roof curb on the roof of main building. The number and location of the condensers was found conceptually approvable. Final selection of the units will be handled at staff level following a review of sound output data, but should not impact any surrounding properties. The committee found the proposed alterations to be conceptually approvable with final review and approval to be handled at staff level, and is recommending that the commission forward a positive recommendation to the City Planning Commission regarding the change of use to specialty restaurant.
Thank you, Erin, for your report. I appreciate it. Who do we have on the call representing the property?
This is Juan Lara with Williams Architects.
Welcome, Juan.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else?
Okay. I don't know if John Williams is still on the line.
Okay. I'm not certain. Not certain at this time. He's probably enjoying that nice North Carolina weather. nonetheless. Okay. Commissioners, do we have any questions for Juan at this point?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Oh, hey, John. Okay. Thank you.
And before I guess, ma'am, if I may,
yes,
just
absolutely.
To update you, since the ARC, where we got the conceptual approval, we have been updating the staff with the information requested at the time. So we've been feeding the staff with new information as requested.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you'd like to advise the commission before the commissioners ask you all some questions? Great. Commissioners, do we have any questions for Juan or John? Okay. Good. All right. We'll hold with that and move on to the next section, appeals and violations, 32630 Charter Street.
This is Erin. I heard from the applicant this morning. Unfortunately, with us needing to reschedule the meeting, they weren't able to make it today, so they did request a deferral to be scheduled for the August meeting.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And at the time that we go through after the comment period, we will request a motion to defer this item. Thank you. Okay, so at this point, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, it is time for us to go into the public comment period. Would you like to outline a bit of how that works before we go into recess?
So thank you. At this point, we will recess for 30 minutes to allow public comment. Public comment will be taken by email. Please email your comments to the staff at vcc@nola.gov. That's vcc@nola.gov. Make sure to include the application address in the subject line so we know which project we're discussing. And also make sure that your comments are such that can be read in under 2 minutes. Please note that after the 30-minute period, we will no longer be able to take comments to read into the meeting minutes, but we will put them into the public record. After the 30 minutes is over, we will reconvene, go back through the agenda item by item, read any public comments into the record. The commission will discuss the matters, make motions, and vote.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. We will need a motion to go into recess, beginning at 1:46. Commissioners?
This is Rick Fifield. I'd like to move to adjourn the meeting for 30 minutes to reconvene at 2:16.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Bill. All in favor? I will note that the meeting is going into recess. You are welcome to stay on the line or hang up and get back on so that we can get moving at 2:16. Thank you all so much. Welcome back to the August 5th session of the VCC meeting. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Brian, would you call the roll once again?
Yes. Mamie Gasparez?
Present.
Tony DiMaggio?
Present.
Rick Fifield?
Present.
Stephen Bergeron? Bill Reeves?
Present.
Angela King? Keely Thibodeau?
Present.
Rodney Villarreal? Laverne Toombs.
Present.
Six members constituting a quorum.
Perfect. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. We need a, Missy, don't we need a motion to call ourselves back to order? Okay. Commissioner?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioners?
This is Rick Fifield. I'd like to make a motion to reconvene the August 5th meeting of the Deer Creek Commission after a 30-minute recess.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Bill Reeves. Appreciate it. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye. Okay.
Terrific. The meeting is back in order. Thank you so much. We're going to head to our first item of new business, 616 St. Peter. Do we have any public comment?
Yes, we do. So just to make everybody aware, we've had a pretty large number of public comments, which is great. Keep in mind that we will be timing to limit the reading of each to 2 minutes. So anything after the 2 minutes will be entered into the public record, but will not be read into the minutes. So the first public comment is from Aaron Holmes from VC Pora. The VCC guidelines do note that adding a new overhang will greatly alter the appearance of a building. There is no documentary evidence of a pre-existing overhang on this building, nor the original structure it replicated. Further, the guidelines note that overhangs must not conceal any important architectural detail or feature. In this case, 616 St. Peter's adjacency to several purple-rated buildings, the Cabildo, Pontalba, St. Louis Cathedral, and the surrounding iconic Jackson Square, merits further consideration of the impact to the viewshed that the proposed awning could obstruct. The second comment is from Nikki Zawinski of French Quarter Citizens. While we sympathize with the applicant's desire for a roof, which has become synonymous with New Orleans worldwide by visitors, the media, and advertising. While this building is orange-rated, it is not comparable to most orange-rated structures in the district, because it is not a typical orange-rated building. This is a faithful reconstruction approved only after it was determined in the early 1960s that the 1796 Spanish colonial could not be restored and should instead be reconstructed. While the proposal suggests that this change is reversible, it is unlikely that it will ever be reversed once installed. Additionally, the installation will hide some of the decorative detailing, which is in conflict with the design guidelines. We respectfully ask the commission to deny this proposal, We prefer the applicant consider continuing to use umbrellas or perhaps a more temporary cloth awning, which is far less expensive and less permanent.
Is that all we have today, Brian?
That is.
Okay. Do we have anyone on the call that, are we allowed to take public comment just from the Zoom?
Misty?
Yeah. If somebody is here and has comments, yes, that's fine. This was for the people, the public comment break was for people that aren't here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We had that, as Brian said at the last meeting, the memory that was gone about how we used to do the VCC. Now we're trying to get the Zoom protocol back. So thank you for that point of
view. This is Renee. Just for clarification, if someone sent in an email, are they still allowed to talk?
No, the rules say that only one public comment per person. So if they wrote in, then that was their comment.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that clarification.
Thanks.
Excuse me. Could I ask a question?
Identify yourself.
Yes, this is Susan Guillot. I live at 1130 Dauphine Street.
And do you have a public comment, Ms. Guillot?
I sent one in. I don't understand. I sent it to VCC, but you didn't read it. It wasn't read.
If it was received after we reconvened, then it will be in the minutes. It just won't be read.
No, no, it was. I sent it in the minute that we did that.
We haven't gotten to it yet. There's quite a few that are going to be read in. So you're on the list. You'll be in there.
Okay. And is that which item were you commenting on, Ms. Guillot?
On this one, 913 Governor Nichols, 1215 Dauphine Street.
Okay. And that's why we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet. We're on 616 St. Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No. It's okay.
Pardon me.
No. It's all good. Thank you. Better early than late. Absolutely.
Yes.
thank you. Is there anyone on the Zoom that has not issued a public comment to the email that would like to speak?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Steve Pettis.
I'm sorry. Could you restate your name again,
please? My name is Steve Pettis.
Okay.
I am the owner of the property, along with my partners, Dickie Brennan and Lauren Brennan-Brower. Okay. We developed this property in 2011. In July of 2019, we received full approval from the VCC board, this board. Unfortunately, it was the middle of the summer, and so we couldn't start construction at that time. As you know, in the hospitality industry, that's a really slow time, and so it's by the time we would get into the process, it would be October. And so we were kind of stuck not being able to do it. Then COVID hit, and I'm not complaining, but I think everyone knows what happened to the hospitality industry during COVID. We were completely shut down. That restaurant was shut down for over 6 months. We didn't know where our financial future was, and we had no revenue. So we did not have the ability to do the construction in 2020 prior to the expiration on July 18th of 2020. We have pulled all of the necessary elements together for us to move forward. I just feel like we've been down this path. I know that the Cesar Burgos development has been down this path many times. This is the first time we've done this. We have one reason that we delayed, and it was COVID. And we feel like we've been through this process. We went through the air. We got unanimous approval at the VCC ARC. We received unanimous approval at the July 18th, 2019 hearing. And our team is ready to go. We've tried to work with the design team at the committee at VCC and just asking to allow us to move forward. There's enough going on in our world, but we need to get this thing completed if we can. And I certainly appreciate your consideration.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Pettis.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Appreciate it. We strive, the staff and the commissioners strive to be transparent and as speedy as possible.
Yes, ma'am.
But I know I appreciate your comments.
Yes, ma'am.
So good. Any other public comment from someone who has not already submitted something? Okay, great. Then we should move into the commissioners' discussion. At this point, is that correct, Brian?
That is correct.
Okay, good. Commissioners, questions, comments? Are you ready for a motion on this item? Don't be shy, kids. Oh, wait, I can see that Mr. Bergeron is talking, but I cannot hear him. Can you all hear him?
Nope, not at all.
No. Can Steve comment? Can he type his comments into the chat feature in Zoom?
I don't know why not.
Yeah, Steve, if you can hear us, type your comments into the chat feature in Zoom. We can get past these technological challenges. Steve, I think you're muted. Can you hear you? Can you unmute yourself?
That's what I think.
No. Steve, you can also, you're welcome to call in on your cell and perhaps that would work. Okay. He looks like he really wants to say something. While he's doing that, does anyone else have a comment or a question?
I hate to put him on the spot, but in the Architectural Committee meeting, I asked Rick Fifield if he would mind making a couple of comments on the previous review process and determination, because he was a member of the Architectural Commission, the Architectural Committee and the Commission at that time. And since I came in after, I was not as familiar with the process that went behind the design discussion and determination here. And so I don't know, Rick, if you would mind making a couple comments on behalf of the Architectural Committee or the previous review process
I'd be happy to do that while we wait for Steve's comments. When we were reviewing this proposal previously, the most important criteria that we came up with was the retention of the wrought iron guardrail, which is the historic component of this building that remains. I appreciate the comments made by the two people that wrote in, Aaron Holmes and Nikki Zielinski. But I believe in this case that we have a building which will not be highly altered by the addition of the awning, will increase the amenity on the building and not have an overall negative impact on the view shed towards Jackson Square. I think that's pretty much demonstrated by photographs that were presented to the committee.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. It does look like Steve is on the phone. I trust that he's not ordering a pizza at this point out of complete frustration.
Sorry, y'all. I am back. And I did catch the end of Rick's comments. I was a little hesitant to question the design on this awning in our committee meeting because it has been approved before. But I guess I had a question for the staff wondering, this is sort of a faithful replication of a prior existing building. And, what reasoning does the staff have for approving this gallery roof?
I'm not sure that it's on the staff. This was reviewed and approved by the Architecture Committee as is appropriate as per the guidelines. It was the determination of the committee at that time that this was not an inappropriate intervention on this building and that there was precedent for this type of gallery construction on this type of building and that the architects had been sensitive to the character of the building itself and of the architectural elements that this would involve. So, I think that it's a combination of staff, architecture committee, and then the following corresponding commission that all agreed that this was approvable.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, do you have any other questions?
This is Rick Fifield. I'd also like to add that that although the massing of the replacement building is similar to the original, it is not a faithful reproduction of the original 1795 building. It's a paraphrase, very much like many of the, we'll call it Ville-Carré revival style buildings were, where they felt relatively free to interpret history and paraphrase detail. And so I think we looked at the photographs of the building prior to demolition, the original building prior to demolition, we'd find that where it has the sense of the original building, it's not an actual reproduction by any means. And so, I mean, as I reviewed this in 2019, I felt that we were really dealing with massing and siting more than detail as far as this reproduction is concerned. That's why at that time I supported the concept of adding an awning on the gallery, especially because they were able to come up with a very clever way of being able to retain the most historic remaining part of this building, which is the second floor guardrail.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that context. So, commissioners, any other discussion, comment, concern, anything you'd like to say, or are we ready for a motion?
I did just want to say that I sort of was in the same place as Stephen at the Architectural Committee meeting because of my lack of knowledge of the history of the design discussion. But I absolutely appreciate and really acknowledge Commissioner Fifield's commentary, because it is not an exact reconstruction, and therefore it's not the same set of rules as that type of preservation approach, sort of per the, you know, Secretary of Interior Standards guidelines. And so I have a much better understanding of the conversation, more about the fabric of the French Quarter, you know, hierarchically being the most important, as well as whether or not the proposal is appropriate to you know, the style of building that this is emulating and the era that it would have been constructed in. So I feel a lot more comfortable backing it, although it was not that long ago that the commission reviewed it. And so it wasn't, you know, there was no change of best preservation practices between 2019 and now. So I assume that, you know, if we're all working kind of on the same best practices for preservation, it was done for a reason that I probably would support, and it is.
Well, I appreciate this dialogue. Commissioners, are we ready to make a motion on this?
I'll move the appropriate type of approval. Is it conceptual or not, the whole thing?
This is, I believe it would be conceptual approval with the details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. That's my motion.
And this is Erin. Just to clarify, no changes have been proposed. So this is something that could really just be reissued. I don't see there being any changes that need to be made at staff level. So I think a straight up approval would probably be appropriate.
Thank you, Erin.
Okay. Bill, would you like to amend your motion or hold
what
you have? Okay. Perfect. Would you mind restating your motion?
I'd like to move approval of this project.
Okay. Commissioners, do we have a second?
This is Rick Fifield. I'd like to second that motion.
Thank you, Rick. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. On the matter of 616 St. Peter, the motion passes. Congratulations and best wishes with your building project.
Thank you, Commissioner, and welcome, Commissioner Toombs.
Thank you so much. We are very lucky to have Commissioner Toombs.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Okay. In the matter of 1215 Dauphine, 913 Governor Nichols, public comment.
Yes. And once again, there are quite a few. And we will limit the reading to 2 minutes per comment. The first comment is from Daniel.
I'll keep the time for you.
Okay, thank you, Renee. Daniel and Heidi Rains. Dear commissioners, my wife and I have lived at 905 Governor Nichols Street with our three daughters for 15 years. As the owner of the property to which the proposed new development, we are very concerned about impending damage to our historic home. Defects in the approved plans as submitted to the VCC and non-compliance of the proposed new construction Bucaray Height Interim Zoning District requirements. This new construction is proposed to attach to the rear of our American townhouse in 1840, constructed in 1840, and to our historic courtyard wall, which was constructed prior to 1876. Our American townhouse is supported by masonry. We have some of it is cut off, I'm afraid, extends outward underground, and there is a concern that this historic structure will be compromised by the site preparation needed, i.e. excavation, driving of pilings, et cetera, further compromising the integrity of the historic structure. The development as proposed to attach, is supposed to attach to our historic courtyard wall, which has endured for many decades essential elements of our property, but does not possess the structural foundation needs to support the attachment of a new 38-foot structure. The historic wall is not supported by masonry foundation and is not able to support a structure of this magnitude. VCC is to provide for the protection of existing historic structures such that new construction will not damage existing archaeological resources. We respectfully request that the VCC defer the proposed construction for revisions which create adequate space between our home and any new construction to protect the structural integrity of our American townhouse. There are also defects in the applicant's plan, such as inaccuracies with the submitted survey. The applicant's survey contends that the property line on the Dauphine Street falls inside our home by over 6 inches and over 8 inches on the Governor Nichols elevation, which is in conflict with historical surveys as well.
That's as time.
Thank you. The rest will be in the minutes. Following comment is by Jamie and Monique Coleman. Dear Bucaray Commission, I've been following the proposal for additional development of 913 Governor Nichols Street in the form of condominiums to be constructed to the rear of the property. Such a large structure would greatly impact the historic nature of this cottage, which many locals and visitors regard as one of the most revered structures in the Bucaray. It is my opinion and the opinion of many of our neighbors that this proposal be deferred. The proposed construction on the Dauphine Street lot is in direct conflict with the Bucaray Height Interim Zoning District. This ordinance states that new construction may not be greater than previous structures on the lot or no higher than an average adjacent structure on the two neighboring lots. The Dauphine Street lot has height included only single story structures that construction of only one single story construction should be entertained. When considering the average averaging method, new construction should be averaged with Cabrini Park or Cabrini Park Pavilion on the Esplanade, which results in a maximum height of significantly less than proposed 38 feet, 11 inches. It is my understanding that this construction project will include the addition of the north rampart side of the cottage. It is also proposed to add a gallery on the Dauphine Street side where a gallery has never existed. These alterations are unprecedented and should not be allowed. It is time for our neighborhood to speak up regarding this proposal. We allow this development to proceed when it is so negatively impacts one of the most historic homes in the French Quarter. We hope that the VCC will defer this project for revisions to a scale which conforms to the VCC height interim zoning district requirements and removal of such elements as a new driveway on Governor Nichols and a new gallery on Dauphine Street. Next comment is from Jane Cooper and Bob Heaps. Aaron, we write to you to express our opposition to the proposed construction of a 2 1/2 story apartment complex at the rear of 913 Governor Nichols Street. The applicant is John Williams, Governor Nichols Street Properties, etc. We live at 931 Barrack Street, one block away. The lot in question where Mr. Williams proposes to build is directly adjacent to both other residences and to the community treasure, which is Cabrini Park. We are not architects or city planning experts, but clearly any 2 1/2 story construction would be inconsistent with the current neighborhood, which is several hundred years old. It would have a negative impact on important green space, which is used by the residents and the children of Homer Plessy. Preserving green space is critical as we battle climate change throughout New Orleans. We urge the staff and commissioners to deny this application as it is currently submitted. Next comment is from Michael Dees. As a homeowner here on Governor Nichols Street for over 22 years, I'm writing to express firm opposition to the pending request to build two entirely new 2.5-story structures bounded by 913 Governor Nichols Street and 1215 Dauphine Street. This lot is the current site of Osorno House, circa 1787, one of the oldest structures surviving in the Mississippi Valley. According to maps in both the HNOC and the Notarial Archives, absolutely no historical precedent for any other structures to be built on this site. In his building, New Orleans historian Richard Campanella describes the current building as a structure, the only structure ever to occupy its parcel. This fact alone should preclude any new construction on the site, but the recent renovation of 913 Governor Nichols, carried out by the current applicants between 2016 and 2018, are causing trouble. These renovations are appallingly slipshod. Ceilings have collapsed due to the plumbing. Decidedly non-historic skylights have been carved into the roof. Pseudo-slate continuing to dangle precariously from 20 feet above the ground. The list goes on. These applicants are now seeking again to build an even larger complex at the rear of the parcel with a second driveway added on Governor Nichols Street. These requests are profit-driven, giving the applicants the power to subdivide this historic property, even by adding more condominiums to the half dozen units they've already created in order to sell. These requested changes will damage the landscape and character of this block irrevocably, altogether inconsistent with the historic character of the French Quarter. The applicants already demonstrated that they are poor stewards of such an historic property. In light of this, they should not be permitted to exploit this site and this neighborhood any further. I urge the VCC to take these issues into consideration and
that's vote time.
For construction at 913 Governor Nichols, 1215 Dauphine. Next comment is by Mike and Elizabeth Magner. Mr. Block, we live at 916 Governor Nichols, across the street from this project, and we write in opposition to it. We just learned that this was on the VCC docket for tomorrow and asked for a 90-day continuance in order to provide additional materials in opposition. No efforts were made to consult with the nearby property owners concerning this design. The proposed building plans are entirely too large for the property and would occupy virtually every inch of the existing property. It is out of character for the neighborhood and is strenuously opposed by the neighbors. The original renovation was done in a slipshod manner. There are obvious structural problems in the Governor Nichols side of the property that were ignored. The front pillars lean noticeably. The structure is in obvious need for a new roof, which was not installed. No effort was made to landscape the property other than install plastic foliage in the already unsightly cyclone fence. A large, beautiful live oak tree was not protected during the last renovation. To my knowledge, none of the condo units have been sold, suggesting there is no need for additional units in the neighborhood. The proposed plans make no allowance for parking, which is already in short supply in the neighborhood. To my understanding, the area in the back was originally a stables, and adding substantial additional residential space would be a significant change from the historic design. If there is a chance that this design could pass tomorrow, please advise immediately so we can consult with our elected officials and consider further formal action. Next comment is from Angie Bolin. I oppose the current proposed plan for 1215 Dauphine, 913 Governor Nichols for the following reasons. One, density. This project is much larger than anything that has ever been situated on this parcel, and it will dominate two block faces and completely change the historic view of the area. Specifically, this new construction will affect the historic view of the blue-rated structure at 913 Governor Nichols. This 18th century plantation house was originally situated on the lot so that there was green space around it, similar to its original site condition on Bayou St. John. This new construction, although on the Dauphine frontage, will be highly visible from Governor Nichols and have an extremely negative impact on one of the oldest buildings in the French Quarter. For those of us who live and own property in Governor Nichols, this is unacceptable and will set a very bad precedent. The proposal relies on the merging of multiple lots into one, which we understand the VCC recommended only after new construction was complete. It is not. The proposal would not be possible without the lots merged into one, as it relies on the open space of the original 913 Governor Nichols parcel to maximize construction on what was separate lots until the current owners consolidated them. This seems to employ the same piecemeal approach that has resulted in significant alterations at other addresses in the French Quarter. Number three, the height. This new construction is much taller than anything previously built in the original lot, which was historically a one-story accessory structure. Number four, the plans use a historic fence as a building wall. They seemingly incorporate the wall of a garage on the adjacent property garage. This garage is a simple roof over the historic fence. Besides that, this construction would completely conceal this historic fence. The fence is unlikely to have a foundation adequate to support the proposed townhouse. Further, there are currently windows on the garage wall and service building of 905 Governor Nichols that appear on the Historic American Building Survey. This new construction is against these windows, so by default, 905 Governor Nichols.
That's time.
View into the area. Next comment is by Chad Pellerin. If not mistaken, this property is the home of a former governor that was moved to the site on Governor Nichols Street. I understand it has a high blue rating. It has a large yard around it with lively shade trees in front that grace it, and it lies in the last truly exclusive residential part of and in the lower garden, lower quarter. Perhaps the commission should concern itself more with keeping it in its present scale and maintain its historical significance and tout ensemble. Surely other vacant condo buildings in this area is not in keeping with uses of single homes and apartment buildings in this area. Please consider a denial of this project. Thank you. I am not a spokesperson for any other than myself. And the next comment is from Susan Gio. I have lived near the corner of Dauphine and Governor Nichols Street for over 20 years. During this time, I have come to respect and appreciate many historic resources in the French Quarter, but especially the cottage at 913 Governor Nichols Street. Homes such as this cottage have existed in the French Quarter with smaller structures behind them as accessories. The proposal being considered today is highly inappropriate as an example of construction of a large principal structure on the same lot as another principal structure. The proposal to build a structure of the same size to the rear of the cottage is in direct conflict with Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance Section 21.4A, which states that more than one principal building may be permitted on a lot of record, provided that historical authentication can verify the historical existence of more than one principal building on such a lot. I do not see any evidence of this in the documents provided for the historic record. Next comment is from Stephanie Lario. Dear commissioners, as a resident of the French Quarter and neighbor to Cabrini Park, I strongly oppose these plans for construction of multi-unit complex at 1215 Dauphine Street. This complex is much too large for this lot and will encroach upon adjacent Cabrini Park. The proposed building facing Dauphine is designed as a separate principal structure on the same lot. This is not allowed in the Bucarest per CZO requirements. I am also concerned about how this development and a new driveway will impact the appearance of the stately Creole cottage at 913 Governor Nichols Street, which is the oldest house in the French Quarter. I implore the VCC to decline this application pending revision, which limits the height of the structures on this lot to comply with zoning requirements and preserve the historic nature of the cottage. The next comment is from Rudy Franklin. Dear VCC, I'm opposed to the 1215 Dauphine-913 Governor Nichols proposal for building a condominium on the lot behind 913 Governor Nichols Street. Besides the new proposed building towering over the existing historic cottage and altering the look of the block, their idea of cutting a driveway over to Governor Nichols Street does not make sense for a key lot. I am a long-term resident of this area, and I ask that you seriously consider the concerns of those who live here and have been slash will be impacted, not only by the years of construction, but the negative altering of the neighborhood. This proposed condominium is huge compared to previous structures that have been on this lot. It will tower over Cabrini Park and the historic cottage on the property, forever changing the look and feel. They even want to attach part of the proposed structure to my neighbor's historic home. Additionally, consider the old soft brick building on either side of the property and all the heavy machinery. It will generate considering how loud they've been for the last 3 years. The construction crews are loud, inconsiderate, and work outside the allowed hours, but no one enforces the rules on them. Plus, they've had trucks parking illegally, blocking the road on countless occasions, big trucks and workers going and coming all day long in their noisy vehicles. Trash cans are left out all day. They never clean up their tree debris and trash along the road slash sidewalk, a major eyesore, which also clogs the catch basins, causing street flooding. For the longest time, they had a porta potty sitting on the sidewalk, and I had to complain to VCC before they removed it. The new owners have never reached out to the neighbors. No matter what they may tell VCC staff, their actions show they have little regard for our neighborhood. The owner slash developer knew that this was a major lot prior to, it was a key lot prior to purchasing the property, and he and his attorneys decided to push on anyway. It's bad enough they tore out all the original materials from inside the main cottage.
That's time.
Thank you. The next comment is from Patrick Fontenot. The commissioners should consider how zoning ordinance pertinent to this construction have changed following initial approval in 2017. The Bucare height zoning ordinance adopted in 2020. The ordinance limits the height of new construction to the height of historical structures on the same lot or an average of the height of the two adjacent lots. If the lots assigned to 1215 Dauphine Street, Lot 2, and 913 Governor Nichols Street, Lot 24, are still considered as separate, the construction on Dauphine Lot 2 should only be one story. If the lots are considered as combined, the new construction cannot proceed because this would conflict with zoning for principal structures in the French Quarter, CZO Section 21.4A. This ordinance does not allow for the construction of more than one principal structure on the same lot unless the lot historically contained more than one principal structure. In this case, it does not. Next comment is from Aaron Holmes of VC Pora. We write out of concern regarding the proposed new structures at 1215 Dauphine and 913 Governor Nichols. Any new construction must accurately conform to the newly created Bucare height IZD. The zoning administrator's interpretation of utilizing a Sorno building as the height limit ignores the language within the IZD that any new construction height should be limited to the average of adjacent structures on the two neighboring lots. This interpretation undermines the spirit of this ordinance and the work that went into crafting it to safeguard the tout ensemble. The recommended height limit per the IZD should average the height of the closest adjacent buildings, which are the two service wings of 901 and 905 Governor Nichols, and the one-story structure in Cabrini Park on the downriver side of the site. This would be a good start to ensuring appropriate scale through infill development. This re-subdivision of this property combined it into one lot of record was evidently done to achieve the required open space ratio for this massive amount of new construction. The scale of these two new buildings, which would not have been approvable without this re-subdivision, will still overcrowd the lot and surrounding residential fabric. The blue-rated Osorno house has already undergone questionable renovations, and the continued development of the property could have severely detrimental impacts on both this historic treasure and the surrounding neighborhood. As noted by several residents, there are significant community concerns on the impact the proposed structure will have on adjacent buildings, both during construction and on the streetscape in perpetuity. As safety and permits is noted to additional reviews and appeals needed for the project, making this application premature. In short, any new construction must take into account the safety of the surrounding structures, the impact on this quaint residential streetscape, and meet all necessary building codes. Next is from Andrew Stevens. Walter Zenner, structural engineer for the 913 Governor Nichols 1215 Dauphine project, has provided a letter to the VCC staff outlining the following, that the plans prepared for the project in March 2018 are still structurally valid. The project abuts the exterior brick wall at the back property shared between 905 Governor Nichols and 1215 Dauphine Street. However, the proposed structure is completely independent of the existing brick wall at 905 Governor Nichols and does not transmit any load to it, and it's entirely supported on its own foundation. Therefore, there would be no adverse effects to the existing brick wall at 905 Governor Nichols Street due to the construction of the proposed new construction at 1215 Dauphine Street. The next comment is from Nikki Zielinski of French Quarter Citizens. While we sympathize with Mr. Burgos having had medical issues, everyone in the city is subject to the same rules, and an expired permit is an expired permit, giving this applicant special compensation when other citizens are not given exceptions. We note that both the owner and architect have extensive experience in the district at both this address and others and know the rules perhaps better than any citizens.
It appears the director is muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you. I hit the wrong button. We support the staff and the numerous issues noted in the property report. This project would not be allowed if presented as two proposals. It has numerous issues to be resolved that will require considerable changes to the plans. The proposal is much larger and grander than anything that has ever been situated on this parcel. It will dominate three block faces and completely change historic views of the area. Specifically, this new construction will affect the historic view of the blue-rated structure at 913 Governor Nichols Street. This 18th century plantation house was originally situated on the lot so that there was green space around it, similar to its original site condition in Bayou St. John. This new construction, although on the Dauphine frontage, will be highly visible from Governor Nichols and have an extremely negative impact on it, one of the oldest buildings in the French Quarter. The proposal relies on the merging of multiple lots into one, which we understand the BCC recommended only after new construction was complete. It is not. This proposal would not be possible without the lots merged into one, as it relies on the open space of the original 913 Governor Nichols parcel to maximize construction on what was a separate lot until the current owners consolidated it into one lot. This seems to employ the same piecemeal approach that has resulted in significant alterations at other addresses. Further, this proposal is two principal buildings on one lot.
That's time.
Thank you. I would like to note that during the recess, while reading several of these comments regarding the concern about the two principal lots on one lot of record, I have reached out to zoning administration to get their interpretation of this, and that the VCC does not ever approve something that is in deviation of the CZO. And I will get back to you once I have that information.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Is there anyone on the call that has not submitted a comment that Brian read? And yes, Brian, have some water. That was a lot of reading. Thank you. Does anyone like to make a comment at this time?
Yes, this is John Reed. And
okay,
I sent
John,
in...
you're on the floor. Okay.
It was timed at 12 past 2. As an abutting neighbor of 1218 Governor Nichols, I object. The building's only design principle is the maximization of size and space and parking. The connected service wing in size and height overwhelms the townhouse. It is very unusual to see such a wing have the same peak roof line as the main structure. More generally, there is a step down to the service wing, both literally and visually. The failure to reflect this vernacular is jarring and ugly. It is a design that reflects a greed for space rather than beauty and proportion. The satisfaction of 30% open space requirement is accomplished dishonestly. The structure 1215 meets this only through the sleight of hand achieved by incorporating the open space at 913 Governor Nichols, the lot consolidation trick. The result is a jam-packed lot at 1215 and an elegant historic house at 913, besieged and beleaguered by driveways and shoehorned parking. A lose-lose, and such respect and such disrespect to a blue-rated building. Despite the consolidation device, the VCC has the power to and should demand more in the interest of a worthy project at this prominent location. We deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. I appreciate that. I believe we have Nikki. Nikki, you've, Brian, correct me if I'm right. Nikki has already submitted a comment. Is that right?
My question is if you have one from Terrence Jacobs.
It was submitted to the wrong address at 2:39 p.m. I'd be happy to read it. It's not a problem. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sure it goes to the correct email address so we can get everything in one spot.
I'm sorry.
Yes, and that email address is vcc@nola.gov.
So Mr. Jacobs says, I oppose this project and has been offered in tidbits to get around design guidelines and zoning. I further note that it seeks to convert a common fence into a building wall without permission from adjacent neighbors. Please deny this current plan.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else on the call that has not already made a comment that would like to speak?
Mr. Burgos is just inquiring. He couldn't.
Is that John Williams? Okay.
Yeah,
John.
He's just inquiring if he can comment now or not. And I told him that would be up to you all.
Okay.
As there was public comment against, he can do some rebuttal.
Certainly. I'd kind of like to have all the comment at this point. If anyone else has their hand raised, I want to make sure that they have them.
So they say since there's negative comments, you can make a rebuttal.
Correct. But I want to make sure that someone who has their hand raised has been recognized. Is that correct?
You can.
Everyone has been recognized. Okay, Mr. Burgos, you have 2 minutes.
Hey, Avery, I am seeing
8. Wait. Caesar, not yet.
Double check. That's correct.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who was? Mr. Burgos, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you very much, commissioners. One of my next door neighbor fails to allude to is the fact that we went through this process. I could have easily gotten 20 people to speak on behalf of the I'm not asking for anything like that. He omits the fact that this has already been approved. What's happening is that my next door neighbor wants part of my property, and I've told him that I can't commit to that. So now he's trying to capitalize on my misfortune last year so that he can get to my property. And it's a sad situation when somebody tries to do that. It's really sad. Okay. And, it's really unnecessary to go through this entire process all over again. It's already been approved. In his long-winded monologue, he talks about all these misstatements and doesn't characterize the project in its true self. So,
Mr. Burgos, I'm going to ask you to not be personal in your comments.
Hold on, Caesar. Go ahead.
No, I want to make sure that Mr. Burgos is
not personal. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Mamie.
Yeah, I want to make sure that Mr. Burgos is, I understand he's emotional, but he is not personal in his comments.
Okay.
Okay, I understand, but it's, this is my project. We worked really hard to get it approved for about 2 years. And what's happening is that people are coming out here trying to get a second bite at the apple so that my property can be taken. That's anti-American. It shouldn't be that way. Okay, I'm not asking for special treatment. On the contrary, I'm asking for my right that we worked for 2 years to simply be honored, and whatever necessary adjustments we need to make, we will make. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Burgos. And then
if I could have a short rebuttal.
Certainly, John.
One, the project was, all the project inside and outside on 913 was reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Office. So when I hear comments like we're ripping things out, we wouldn't have gotten the historic tax credit for the project that faces Governor Nichols unless we had followed all these regulations and kept all the millwork that was necessary to keep, and to the degree that how old this house is, we respected it in a very specific way. In terms of the infill and providing the making it one lot of record, we've gone through all this. We went through with the Vieux Carré and the commission, 17 different iterations until we came up with a design that everybody approved. And it was unanimously approved. If I go back, the way we responded to the architectural committee and the commission for months, we went, consecutively for almost a year and a half to every architectural meeting and commission meetings, working every little detail out, and also concurrently working it out with the State Historic Preservation Office. They have blessed this design because it is one property of record. So it's, the characterization that this is not well thought out and proportional, saying that we're not representing the slopes. Every slope here on every roof of the new construction and the existing was reviewed and calculated, and we went through numerous.
That's 2 minutes.
So I would appreciate being able to see this come to fruition and have you vote affirmatively.
That's 2 minutes,
thank you, John. John, thank you very much. And we appreciate, as you and Mr. Burgos have reiterated, about your struggles through this and how you've already done it. I think that's been well established at this point. So you made those points very clearly. Thank you very much for all the timekeepers. I appreciate that. Last chance for public comment. Anyone who's on the call who has not already spoken. Okay. Commissioners, do you have any comments? Are you ready for discussion at this point? Then we'll move into that phase.
Hey, what folder? Those that could work for Linda Bopp. What folder?
Please, if you are not a commissioner, I'm going to ask that you mute yourself at this point. Okay. We're hearing a lot of background noise. Okay, So it's time for the commissioner's discussion. Okay. If we don't have any other comments, I would volunteer that the height gives me great pause. Realize that it's not very much, but the fact is that we need to make sure that we observe the devil is in the details, and the details are the height.
Mamie, I know I have a lot of opinions today, but
no, I'm happy to hear from you.
We'll tell you that's nothing new.
Anytime, Commissioner DiMaggio, please, you have the floor.
I would just like to say that, and obviously it all comes down to the government department's interpretation of the codes and regulations. So reaching out to safety and permits and reaching out to zoning and having their interpretation is the be all end all of, I think, the discussion with them, unless an applicant were to take a route, you know, for a variance of some kind. But it is my understanding that the two primary buildings on one lot of record is not applicable to the French Quarter because it is not in the zoning districts that have that regulation. In fact, I believe two primary buildings on one lot of record is allowed in the French Quarter. Again, I understand that that might not be how zoning comes down, but since they have been spoken to recently about this and that was not an item that came up as a concern or a deviation, I'm just going to assume that is not a problem here. And I also just want to say that when it comes to infill, I think it's really important to remember that unless you are reconstructing, it doesn't actually matter what was there before. It matters that it fits into the historic context, the historic urban fabric of the neighborhood. At least that is how I feel is the proper way of addressing vacant land in a historic district. And so that being said, I don't think that something masked with the volume and the height and the detailing that would be consistent with new construction in the French Quarter is an issue. But I do have an issue, and that is that both safety and permits and zoning codes currently are not being met because of the lapse of time between when the original permit was issued and today. And since we don't approve things that are not in relation to or not in conformance with those codes, I think it's imperative that safety and permits and zoning is resolved, it's re-reviewed, and if a variance or anything has to be applied for, that gets taken care of. I think that it seems like not large changes to the overall design, hopefully, based off of what we have from them so far. And so I don't think it's asking too much for the current buildings to meet the current zoning code, which in this case, I think that in agreement with you in a long-winded way, the height of the proposed buildings being taller than what zoning would allow today, I do have a concern over that. So.
Tony, I do not think you're long-winded. I think you're highly articulate and your input is very valuable, very, very valuable. I understand that Brian has a response.
Yes. Yes.
Brian, would you like to have the floor? Tony,
Commissioner DiMaggio, you are absolutely correct. I just got an interpretation from zoning regarding the principal structure, secondary principal structure on one lot of record. I'll read this. The section that is cited only refers to structures in the HURD1 and HURD2 district, which does not apply in this case. You would have to look on table 21-1, which does permit multiple principal structures on a lot in all historic core districts, which includes all of the zoning districts in the French Quarter. And he copied the table and shows that is the case. In the HURD1 and HURD2 districts, more than one principal building may be permitted on a lot of record, provided that historical authentication can verify the historical existence of more than one principal building on such lot, and provided further that such information can be properly documented to the Department of Safety and Permits, and when applicable, the Historic District Landmarks Commission. And all such buildings and appurtenances require the approval of the Department of Safety and Permits and when applicable, the Historic District Landmarks Commission.
Thank you, Brian, in the nick of time. That's great. Commissioners, any other comments, questions?
Let me just, I'm sorry, real quickly.
No, go ahead, Brian.
That does not negate all of the other zoning concerns that Commissioner DiMaggio brought up. I just wanted to raise this one concern that was brought up in several public comments. So, thank you.
Perfect, perfect. That's great. Commissioners, are we ready to entertain a motion?
This is Stephen. I have a question.
Certainly, Stephen.
It sounds like, from what Brian just read, that the applicant would need to substantiate the historic existence of a second primary building on this lot. Is that correct?
Sounds like it.
No, I believe that that is an issue when it's in the HURD1 or HURD2 districts that does not pertain to the VCC.
Got it. Thank you.
That's why it refers to the HDLC.
Okay. Thank you for that point of clarification. Any other questions? Discussion?
This is Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
I'm wondering, when this application was first proposed a couple years ago, was there any public comment about it? That, you know, it seems like the neighbors were not maybe upset about it until now. And I'm trying to understand that.
We can provide that. It's in the public record. There were numerous AC meetings and the commission hearings. So we can provide that information. I do see that John Reed has a response to that. If the chair would acknowledge.
Yes, Mr. Reed, you have something to say. You have the floor.
Oh no, I don't have anything to say. Oh, I just I was sorry. Okay.
No, that's okay. Your hand is still raised. We just didn't want to leave you.
Oh,
out.
I'm sorry.
No. Okay. It's quite all right. Okay. Any questions from the commissioners? This is a very complicated issue. I know this is a lot to digest. Are we ready for a motion?
I'd be happy to make a motion.
Thank you.
In the matter of 913 Governor Nichols, 1215 Dauphine, I move that we defer the proposal until the items addressed with safety and permits, BBSA, zoning, and any other agencies that may require alterations to the design have been met or granted approvals or variances as needed.
Thank you, Tony. So that's consistent with the staff recommendation.
It is, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. All right. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. The motion passes. We will defer to our the other areas of local government until we get that information. So thank you all very much. In the matter of 823, 825 Decatur, do we have a public comment at this time?
We do. The first comment is from Aaron Holmes of VC Pora. VC Pora writes in full support of the classic design designation of the historic Tujac sign. Despite the relocation of the original business, this neon sign is an established part of the Decatur streetscape. While we would have preferred that this sign had followed the restaurant it advertised, this action will help safeguard a highly recognizable historic element while allowing Tujacs to maintain their brand legacy. The second public comment is from Nikki Zawinski of French Quarter Citizens. We support the staff report and designation of classic sign status. We find it unfortunate that Tujacs was not able to take the original sign to the new location. That is all the public comment.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate all the public comment as well. Is there anyone on the line that would like to make a comment that has not already submitted something? Okay. If not, commissioners, questions, discussions? Are we ready for a motion?
This is Stephen. I have a question.
Certainly, Stephen. What's that?
I would just like to ask the staff, if we do approve here today the designation of the original signs as classic signs, do we somehow, I don't understand how this is going to work with the restaurant now proposing to build replica signs. We would potentially have two copies of what are classic signs, and I'm wondering, what's really going to happen to the actual original signs, and are we imperiling the original signs or the new signs by approving these as classic?
You want me to answer that, Brian?
I was about to ask you to do that.
Okay. So the only way that the new location can have a replica sign is to piggyback on the classic sign status of the old sign. And so that way, because the sign is non-conforming with the CZO, it would allow a replica non-conforming sign be put up at the new location. What would happen with this one is it's allowed to stay here, even though the business isn't there, and it's allowed to stay legally non-conforming. Anything that they would do to the sign would have to come before the VCC for review, because the VCC has jurisdiction over signs. So if there would be any changes, they would be routed through the VCC. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Missy, I wanted to ask you a little further about that issue. As usual, typically signage is reviewed at the staff level, unless it is non-conforming. So that's where I'm a little confused. Would this require commission or architecture committee review, or could that be something that would be required by this commission should the owners want to modify the historic sign?
I'm looking to see if there's anything. Let's see.
Missy, I think the question is, like, for example, let's just say another business moves in and they want to take the Tujac sign and change it to say, I don't know, Superior Grill or something. Are they allowed to do that?
We've never had this situation arise. This is a very, very weird situation that has taken a lot of thought to get to this point. Basically the only things in the CZO say the owner of a classic sign shall ensure that the sign is not structurally dangerous, a fire hazard, an electrical shock hazard, or any other kind of hazards. Classic signs may be rebuilt if damaged. And then that's pretty much it. And then the only other thing is that it says that it cannot be converted into a billboard.
Just another example, I'm sure Brian is aware of this. The old Margaritaville that was on Decatur Street, it used to be a restaurant called Storyville before it was Margaritaville. The Storyville sign was considered a classic sign, and they altered it to have Margaritaville put on there. And now that Margaritaville is obviously gone, there was another business in there, and they wanted to now alter the sign again. So it's happened before in VCC.
So, I mean, if that's the custom, then we would still do the custom. There's nothing written that prohibits it.
I think that's where we're
they were not allowed to modify the shape or material.
Correct.
Or size or anything.
Correct.
They can't change out the kind of neon that it is. They can't change out the metal or anything like that. The shape of it. It has to stay the iconic. What makes it iconic has to stay. So in this case, it would be the shape and the neon. But if it got damaged in some kind of way, they could build it back. That's the only thing that the CZO provides.
But I think the guidelines, this is not something I would be
comfortable approving at staff level anyway, because it would be a non-conforming sign and wouldn't meet our typical guidelines and standards for reviewing signs at staff level. So I think it would have to go to committee and commission.
Right. I think
that's anyway, just based on the design guidelines.
Good. Yeah.
It's certainly complicated enough to have a lot of brains around the table. So thank you for your advice, Missy. Commissioners, are we ready for a motion?
This is Rick Fifield. In the matter of 821 through 25 Decatur Street, I'd like to move to support the staff recommendation for approval of the classic sign designation for the three existing signs at that location.
Thank you, Rick. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion passes. Okay. Thank you very much. In the matter of 740 Dauphine, do we have public comment?
We do. We have one public comment from Nikki Zawinski of French Quarter Citizens. We oppose adding a metal awning to this building, which until 1989 had no gallery at all. Allowing any building to continually be altered because it has a later addition is a dangerous precedent. This addition was of its period, and while may not have appealed to everyone, it did represent tastes of the era and was done prior to the founding of the BCC. This building only lost its 1920s character in 1989. We note numerous other buildings with 1920s additions exist in the district, some of which have followed suit and now have a muddled look of no particular period. The BCC is charged with preserving the tout ensemble that existed when the agency was created, not deciding which buildings are not pretty enough to keep. Rather than support further changes, we should be looking to restore the character of the buildings. Adding a gallery now only furthers the fake history that this commission seeks to avoid. Excuse me. The applicant has used umbrellas for years with success, and we believe this is a better option than further facade changes.
Thank you, Brian. Is that the only public comment?
That is.
Okay, terrific. Is there anyone on the Zoom call that has not submitted a comment that would like to speak? Okay. All right. That being a no, commissioners, questions, discussion? Are we ready for a motion? Not everyone all at once.
This is Rick Fifield. I'd really like to hear the position of other commissioners. As a member of the Architecture Committee and Chairman, we've had our say in this matter, but I think that it's important that another commissioner that's not on that committee make this motion to support the decision or the recommendation for approval made by the committee.
Rick, I think that's fair. The Architecture Committee does just an enormous amount of work, and that's Commissioner Bergeron, Commissioner DiMaggio, Commissioner Fifield. But in the interest of transparency, it really is important that the committee doesn't always make the commission motions. So it needs to be. That's why we're here. So Commissioner Reeves, I know you have an opinion. I can always count on you.
I will move we accept the recommendation of the ARC and approve the new cut roof.
Thank you, Bill. Do we have a second? I will call on you guys. Keely, are you still on the line?
She had to leave for another meeting.
Okay. Commissioner Toombs, you want to, want me to put you on the spot right now?
This is Commissioner Fifield. Noting the small quorum today, I'd like to second Commissioner Reeves' motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Fifield. I appreciate that. And commissioners, we have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Best of luck, Mr. Tucker, if you're still on the line.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, in the matter of 220-222 Charter Street, do we have public comment?
No public comment.
No public comment. Wow, okay. Commissioners, comments, questions?
This is Rick Fifield. I'd like to make a motion if it's appropriate.
Absolutely, Rick, you have the floor.
In the matter of 220-222 Charter Street, I'd like to move to forward a recommendation for approval of the change of use to the City Planning Commission and for conceptual approval for the changes as proposed for the new use.
Thank you, Commissioner Fifield. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we'll say what. Commissioner Reeves, thank you very much for your second. Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, good. The motion passes. Good luck. Best of luck with the project.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Safe travels home, Mr. Williams. So we need, in the matter of 330 Charter Street, the individual has asked, the applicant has asked for a deferral. Do we have, so there is no public comment. Is that correct? Brian, did we get any public comment on that one?
There's no public comment.
Perfect. Thank you, Renee. I appreciate it. Commissioners, if there's no questions for the staff, could we entertain a motion to defer this matter to the later in August meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Reeves. We have a second?
Seconded by Rick Fifield seconds.
Thank you, Commissioner Fifield. Yes.
Would Mr. Reeves accept an amendment to say no more than 30-day deferral?
Yes.
Thank you.
Excellent point, Commissioner Fifield.
Wait, yes. I don't understand what the purpose of the no more than 30 day is, because the next meeting's in 2 weeks, I believe. And then the meeting after that would be the next month. So we're on like a longer time schedule right now.
And we actually have the schedule for the next meeting. So we don't need the 30 days. It's on the next agenda.
Right. Okay. So just the next meeting.
Hopefully they, well, I guess,
just,
I guess
just Mr. to clarify this.
Mr. Fifield is probably trying to say not to let them defer again.
Is that correct, Commissioner Fifield?
That was my intention.
Thank you. Yes, we have a question.
Okay. This is Erin. I had scheduled it for the next meeting after emailing the applicant to tell them when the next meeting was, just to make sure that I didn't let it fall through the cracks. They emailed back and said that their architect would not be available for the meeting on the 18th, but would be available for the September meeting. So they've requested the September meeting since this meeting started, if y'all are willing to entertain that.
Do we want to entertain for 60 days or the appropriate amount? Or just leave it as is?
This matter has been continued for nearly a year through deferrals and missed meetings. I wonder how long the commission is willing to wait for the applicant to be prepared to present their proposal to this commission.
That's an excellent point, Commissioner Fifield. I did not realize it had been almost a year, but it has.
Missy, what is the legal, sorry, this is Renee. What legally can we do here? Can we hear it without them present?
Since since we didn't even read the staff report, we said that we advertised it as acting as a referral and we didn't really do anything in the beginning, I would prefer for us to wait until the next meeting. We can hear it without them next time if they don't show up, but I wouldn't feel comfortable with the way that we did it today to proceed with that.
So the September meeting, that if they don't show up, we can hear it without them?
If we advertise it as that we're going to hear it, we don't put applicant request deferral and actually go through the actual process of doing so.
Great. Thank you.
Do we need to tell the applicant just that? Or just the matter of putting it on the public record is enough?
We put it out in the public record. When we don't advertise it as asking for deferral, that means we're going to act, you know, we're likely to act on it. So that gives them enough notice that we're going to act on it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Missy. I appreciate that. Okay. So the motion from Commissioner Fifield, would you mind restating it, Rick?
I believe it was Commissioner Reeves.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. Amendment. Yes. Bill, would you like to restate your motion?
I'd like to, yes. that we take this up at the next meeting.
Okay. So your motion is for a deferral. Okay. And then Commissioner Fifield, are you comfortable seconding on that?
Can you specify which meeting? Because we've talked about two different meetings, the August meeting or the September meeting.
About the August meeting.
Well, they've told us that they are not available at August, so they're going to come in September.
Well, if it's the sentiment that we would prefer September, I'll change my motion to September.
Thank you, Commissioner Reeves. Do we have a second? Commissioner Fifield, are you comfortable seconding that motion?
No.
Okay.
No.
We can take a different second if anybody else would like to second it.
Can I propose an amendment?
Certainly, Commissioner Bergeron.
I would like to amend the motion to revise the date of the next hearing of this matter to our next meeting, which would be our regularly scheduled August meeting.
Okay. Does that have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Missy, are we all, we're all
wait,
good on this?
He can't second it. It was his, that was an amendment to his
oh,
original.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so yeah, I was about to say that. Like, so either Bill's motion doesn't survive because it didn't have a second, and that was a new motion, or he accepts that amendment, and then that person will second it. Can we just start over? Actually,
that would be the best way to do it. It's been a long meeting. Thank you, Missy. Okay, can we start over?
This is Commissioner Fifield in the matter of 326 through 30 Charter Street. I move to defer this matter until the August meeting of the Ukraine Commission.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Bergeron. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. All right.
Aaron, can you just let them know that it's going to be at the August meeting, since I know you discussed the September meeting with them, just so we can be safe?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Missy, for keeping us on the straight and narrow. Do we need a motion, Missy, for to defer the minutes until the August meeting?
We already did that.
Oh, we did. Sorry. Boy, it has been a long afternoon. Okay. Commissioners,
have to do the ratification of the staff actions.
Perfect. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Commissioners, do we have a motion to ratify the actions of the Architectural Committee and staff since the June 30th, 2021 VCC meeting?
Yes, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Reeves. Do we have a second?
This is Rick Fifield. I'll second that motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. And thank you, as always, to the staff and the Architecture Committee for your very hard work. Sorry, that's my dog voting. Do we have a motion to, do we have any new business? Okay. If not, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Bergeron.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Fifield. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Evidently, Zoe Gasper has just voted too. Thank you all so much for your time. I look forward to seeing you all in person very soon. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.